I'm Okila Smith. We're here today with Mary Abajay, an organizational development consultant and Washington area business leader. Welcome, Mary.
Good morning, Akila.
In today's segment of The Working Life, we're going to talk generational differences in the workplace and how generational values and perspectives can affect organizational success. We're going to find out if the generation gap really exists and what, if anything, we can do about it. This seems to be a very hot topic lately, but Mary, there's always been generational differences. Why is this suddenly an issue in the workplace?
Well, you know, it's a great question, and one of the reasons why it's an issue now and it's such a hot topic is because this is the first time there's ever been four generations in the workplace working together. In the past, because of the way people worked or died early or, you know, whatever, we had about two generations. Now we have four. And on top of that, what we're seeing is organizations are much less hierarchical than they used to be, and people are more mobile. So it's not like everybody younger is working for somebody older. Now we have younger people managing older people, managing their peers, and all over the place. And if that's not enough, on top of that, we also have the fact that as American organizations are trying to compete globally and nationally, they are always asking their employees to do more with less. And there's just a faster need for productivity, for effectiveness, for integration. And when these different generations come to the workplace with different perspectives and values and worldviews, it causes some natural clashes.
Oh, we're going to love to hear about those. So, Mary, who are the different generations and how are they different?
Okay, well, let me just run through the four of them. Okay, so the first generation are the traditionalists, also called veterans or matures. And these are the folks who were born, you know, in the early 20s to about 1945. That means they're in their mid 80s to mid 60s now. There's about 52 million of them, which is about 5% of the workforce. And you'll find these often at the very top of the organization. You know, these are our senior leaders oftentimes. Right. And this generation is really characterized by being conservative, disciplined. They believe in hard work, not in magical solutions. They're very salt of the earth, very dedicated. The next generation are the baby boomers. Baby boomers are a huge generation, the biggest generation America as a country has ever seen. And we've all heard the term baby boomers. They're the ones that actually started discussing the generation gap when they came about. Baby boomers were born, you know, early 40s, like 1946 to about 1961. This puts them in their mid-60s to their mid-40s. There's 76 million baby boomers, and they make up 45% of the workforce, and they're firmly, you know, entrenched in leadership positions. So the boomers are kind of running our world right now. And boomers are characterized by, you know, they're very idealistic. Boomers are often also considered self-centered by some because they're the first generation in America to actually have the luxury to do internal soul searching and visioning and things like that. They're the boomers.
Okay.
Following the boomers is Generation X, which is me, and I believe you're barely an X. You're on the line,
yeah,
though. You're on the line between X and
the
Y.
The end of X.
Yeah, the X. You're a late Xer. I'm an early Xer. Xers are also called the Echo Generation or the Baby Busters. Xers are born in the early 60s to about 1980, which puts us in the early 40s to the mid-20s. Generation X are about 51 million, 40% of the workforce. And Generation X, kind of characterized as skeptical, but independent. They seek work-life balance. Gen Xers are also informal and impatient. And we are not, as we were called, slackers, but also they were thought of to be slackers when they first came in the workplace. Which brings us to, finally, our youngest generation in the workplace, the Generation Y, or the millennials, as we call them, or sometimes they're called the Nexters. These are the young people, and I'll try not to call them kids, but they are, who are in their mid-20s to preteens. So they're born about 1981 to about the year 2000. This, again, is a huge generation, and this is the generation that's now, as they're coming to the workforce, reigniting this conversation about generation gap in the workplace. So they're 70 plus million. They're only 10% of the workforce now, but they're growing. And like their baby boomer parents, they're very confident, they're achievement oriented, they're socially oriented, and they're technologically just so superior to everybody
super
else.
Advanced.
Super advanced. So those are the generations in a nutshell.
Okay, so what accounts for the generational differences?
Well, what accounts for generational differences, and this is, I think, fascinating, is that social psychologists have long determined that what happens to us during our first 15 years of life makes an indelible impression on who we are as people. In other words, it helps create, what we experience in those time helps create our values, our perspectives, our worldviews, our very mental models in how we make sense of the world. And so the four major things that happen that the four major influences come from these four things: your parents and family. So how your parents and family are affects how you grow up. Major events, whatever major events happen to you or in the world around you, have an impression. For example, there's a big difference between growing up during wartime and growing up, say, in economic boom time. Big difference, and that affects who you are. The third big major influence is popular media and cultural norms. I mean, look at how the culture of the media of the 50s as opposed to the media of the 90s or the 2000s. Very different. That affects how people perceive the world. And finally, technology changes and advances. Huge influence in determining your generational personality.
So how do these differences show up in the workplace?
Well, these differences show up because as these values, as you create values and you create perspectives and you create worldviews and mental models, you come into the workplace and you bring those with you. Okay, so for example, the traditionalists were really raised during a time of war, of depression, stock market crash, and they were also raised in a time where America as an institution, as a country, was the saving grace. You know, they all pulled together to save America, the world wars. So they grew up very much believing in institutions, very much believing in hard work. It's not enough to, like, just show up for them, okay? They put the organization first, the country first, themselves second.
Okay,
for example, the baby boomers. They grew up in a time of economic booming. Okay, so when the baby boomers came of age, we had won the World War II, Korean War was ending, America was becoming a powerhouse. Everything was possible. Two cars in every garage, you know, and all that. So boomers grew up feeling very idealistic, very enthusiastic and optimistic, and because of their social activism during the 60s and 70s, they grew up understanding that by sticking together and working as a team, as a group, as a generation, they could affect change.
Okay.
Now and so they come to the workplace feeling that way. Now you contrast that with Generation X, who grew up in the time of Watergate, the 70s oil crisis, major recession, the stock market crash of the 80s, latchkey kids. Kids were heard and not, you know, kids were not heard. They were spoken to and not heard. Generation X grew up very skeptical and cynical, and they are not going to give over their lives to the work, to their organization or the workplace they don't trust. And Generation Y, as we're now seeing the workplace personality at work, they grew up in times of economic prosperity, and a lot of things came easy for them. So they're coming into the workplace now showing up with a lot of sense of high expectations and some people say entitlement.
Okay, seems like they're getting the better end of the deal, but I'm sure we'll hear more about that.
Spoken, by the way, like a classic Gen Xer.
We're here today talking about generational differences in the workplace with Mary Abajay. Thanks for joining us. Mary, which generation seems to have the most challenges working together and why?
Well, Generation X and Generation Y, oddly enough, because Generation X really did kind of get the raw end of the stick. Generation X has always had to follow those baby boomers, and I'm looking over at our producer right now, who just took everything. So Generation X had to fight for the scraps, and we're also a small generation, so no one paid any attention to us. You know, the media didn't care about us. And then we see little Generation Y coming along, and their parents have given them everything, or so the story goes. And so they have problems because Gen Y doesn't believe in paying dues. Gen X had to pay dues. Gen X also has clashes with baby boomers. Generally, you clash with the generation above and below you. And the clashes around baby boomers and X's seem to go under work-life balance. Mm-hmm. Boomers are huge workaholics. They're very achievement-oriented. Gen X is much more work-life balance-oriented.
Okay. So how has Generation Y impacted the workforce?
Generation Y has impacted the workforce in a couple of ways. First of all, their sheer numbers are going to be huge. Just like when the baby boomers came into the workforce, they really changed it. And they clashed, of course, with the traditionalists. Generation Y will change the workforce because of their sheer numbers. One of the things that is happening right now is because of the economic prosperity currently of our country, businesses are growing and booming, and they really are fighting over young talent. So Generation Y is in the position right now to be able to really say, here are my demands. Here's what I want. I want to leave work at 3. So they're forcing organizations to rethink their whole kind of model of how we reward employees.
What are some of the common clash points you're seeing in the workplace?
Some of the common clash points are, first of all, around career goals. The traditionalists really seek to build a legacy for the organization. Boomers seek to build a career, a really great career,
right.
You know, a stellar career. Gen Xers, we want to build a portable career. We see no problem with, like, job jumping, and taking learning skills at every job to be able to take it with us, because our security is not with organizations, it's with our career. Gen Y, very interestingly enough, wants to build parallel careers. In other words, it's like that commercial with the Dell computer.
Yeah.
They don't see any problem with, like, being a stock analyst and a fashion designer at the same time. So that's a big clash. Another big clash is around feedback. For example, traditionalists, no news is good news. Boomers love the whole formal 360 thing. They love it. Xers just want it straight. You know, just tell me what I'm doing wrong, tell me what I'm doing right,
right.
And let's make it informal and quick, mm-hmm. You know. And Gen Y wants it constantly. They want to know every minute of the day, how are they doing, what can they be doing better, and they want a lot of praise.
Sounds like a lot of babies.
What are some... Everybody, she said that, not me.
Coming from a Generation Xer. Mary, what are some of the strategies each generation used to become more effective in the workplace?
Okay, so when working with traditionalists, these are the senior people, really honor the chain of command. They built the hierarchies, they believe in them, so give them respect, okay? For baby boomers love process. They love teamwork. Be a team player with them. Show respect for what they've accomplished. Play their game. And also learn corporate values and history. Boomers really believe in that stuff. Okay, working for Gen X. People, if you're working for Gen Xers, whether they're your boss or your employees, I'm going to tell you 4 things. Get to the point, because we're an impatient generation. Give them space to work independently. We don't like teams. Use email and lighten up. We like informality. And for Generation Y, here's the 4 things I'd say for them. Challenge them. Give them creative projects. Ask their opinion. Find them a mentor and let them work in groups.
What can organizations do to help manage the generational differences?
Great question. 3 major things here. First of all, seek to really understand different generational perspectives. This goes for whether you're an employee or an employer. It's like different cultures clashing. Learn about these different generational differences, respect them, and try to, you know, work with them. The second thing is learn to be flexible and adaptive. If you're an organization, you are going to have to change some things to make this a work-friendly environment for 4 generations. If you're an employee, you're going to maybe learn to have to adapt. Like, as a Gen Xer, I need to learn to adapt my work style to work with all generations. And thirdly, communicate workplace expectations clearly and consistently. Don't complain that your Gen Yers are, you know, doing the muffin tops or not dressed properly if you haven't sat them down and told them that. Same goes if you're an employee. Don't complain that your employer isn't promoting you fast enough if you haven't sat down and had a conversation about expectations.
Right. So which generation do you think has had the most impact on our society?
I hate to say this, but unfortunately I'm going to say it's the baby boomers so far. But that's just at this one slice in time.
Right.
But they really have. They're the largest. They really did a big revolutionary thing. But I'm hoping our Gen Xers are going to come through in the next couple of years.
I think when
we're
get
capable. Power.
I think we're capable. We're moving up there, guys. That's all the time we have for today. Please visit www.workingwisdom.blogspot.com for more information on this and other show topics. As always, thank you, Mary, for joining us, and thank you all for listening.